Just a drink. A martini, shaken, not stirred.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not.
It gets the people going.
Reveal your secrets.
Hello, fellow geeks. This week, Ben and I are going to talk about the news coming out of San Diego Comic-Con. That's right. We are Jin and Comics, and we are talking about Comic-Con. We have a lot to cover, and we are going to discuss what we think was awesome, not so awesome. We're going to speculate the crap out of this episode while I am sipping on a nice coffee that was brewed with beans that were aged in gin barrels. Yes, I returned to this coffee. It's quite delicious. It's great. Gin and coffee, never thought they work. Never knew that you can age gin in barrels, but apparently you can. So that's what I'm doing. Ben, we have a lot to talk about, but before that, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
Now, were you lucky enough to make it down to Southern California for Comic-Con?
No, I wasn't, and I feel really, really sorry that I didn't get to go, but yeah.
I also did not get to go, but here, how about this, Ben? How about we make a commitment that next year, 2019, we are going to get our hands on some Comic-Con tickets. We're going to take our recording equipment to San Diego, and we're going to record a show at San Diego Comic-Con next summer. What do you say about that?
Oh, my goodness. That would be so awesome, because I've never actually been to California, so that would be...
I say we just do it. I say we pack it up, we get down there, and we Comic-Con the crap out of Comic-Con.
Swimming pools, movie stars.
But since we didn't get to do that, we're still going to discuss some stuff, because with the age of the internet, everything is released like seconds after it's released at San Diego.
Yeah.
The only thing we haven't gotten yet, and I haven't checked my internet since about 4 o'clock my time, which is about 2 hours ago. The only thing that really we didn't get was the Venom. A new Venom trailer apparently dropped. But we're going to get into that. Before that, since we're Jin and Comics, let's start off talking about comics.
Sure.
There are some comic stuff that dropped at San Diego Comic-Con. Things like Batman getting his trunks back, and he teams up with the Joker. That's going to be crazy. Apparently, the Flash is going to die, and Grant Morrison takes the lead and is taking over Green Lantern. There's some very interesting stuff going out of the comic world, especially with DC. So, Ben, let's go ahead and let's talk about Batman first.
Sure.
So, for the anniversary of Superman, they released about a month or two ago, they released the new design for Superman, and he had his underwear back. And now, at San Diego, they decided that Batman has his underwear back. Ben, what do you think of this?
Okay.
What do you think of this callback to the 1930s?
Sure, why not? I mean, it's an artistic choice. Okay.
Do you think it's simply artistic, or do you think it's more so for the nostalgia?
That too. Yeah.
I haven't seen pictures. I don't know if any pictures were dropped online, but do you think, so keeping in mind, we haven't seen any pictures of this. We just heard he's getting his trunks back. Do you think they're going to be like underwear, or do you think they're going to be trunks?
I don't know.
the speculator himself,
Mr. Clinton,
doesn't know.
Boxers or briefs? I mean.
I think they're going to be trunks. It's very interesting.
Okay.
It's an interesting way, but yeah.
All right.
I think it's for nostalgic.
Yeah. Well, of course. I mean, that's why they brought back Superman's old costume for nostalgia. And that's great, you know. Nice callback. Also, because hey, the new 52 was running.
Right.
And to kind of show that, hey, we're going in a new direction here. We're taking you on a new journey, traveling down a new path, which is really, really good as from a creative perspective. You know, we need to see different things, and how do we How do we create? We go back to the original stuff and we go, oh, how do I make this, you know, for present day and reformat it for a new audience? So
yeah, and so going to back to Superman, so we have Superman that got his trunks back, or his undies, the underwear over the pants thing that inspired every little boy that watched the Superman cartoon to be like, I'm wearing my underwear over my pants today because that's what Superman does, and this means I'm a superhero. Every boy has done that, and girl has done that. It's happened a lot. It's a normal thing. Don't take me to the psychiatrist again, Mom. I'm over it. I only wear underwear over my pants when I go to bed. But Batman getting his underwear back, a lot of people said that Superman needed to because there was like a weird space that was missing for a couple of the runs. They tried fixing that with adding a belt to make it look like, because let's be honest, what's more weird than underwear over your pants? That's a grown man walking around in a onesie.
Yeah.
Like both those things are equally disturbing when you think about it. And so they really need to do something about Superman, but Batman always had the utility belt. So that kind of solved the problem. But do you think we'll actually see underwear over the pants in movies again? Or do you think that's a dead time?
Now, in the movies, it's completely different because, especially with live action, you have to go a little bit more practical. That's why in the first X-Men franchise, instead of like spandex and all that kind of stuff that people were used to, they went for armor and leather. And that's kind of what...
Some would say that has to do with the good old Batman and Robin ruining costumes for everyone, adding the plastic nipples to them. But hey, who's to say? Some people like the plastic nipples. I am not a plastic nipple guy for Batman and Robin. But that's not the most disturbing. The most disturbing thing that was the opening sequence where you see close-up of Batman's butt, close-up of Robin's butt, and then their crotches. It's a little weird. It goes beyond the plastic nipples. I could look past the plastic nipples. Because I did in Batman Forever, I looked past the plastic nipples. Batman and Robin, it just got a little more weird from there. I wasn't going for it. But hey, if you liked it, that's your own opinion. You're entitled to that. But speaking of dead time, at Comic-Con, DC dropped another thing. The Flash is going to die in a crossover event.
It was so funny, like trying to read the article surrounding it, where they were like, well, you know, if you're going to do a big company-wide crossover, the Flash just has to die. And I'm going, okay.
Yeah. What? He either has to go missing in the Speed Force or he has to die. Like, that's the only thing that could happen to Flash. Poor guy. He just gets...
But it's not Barry Allen. I mean, it's Wally West, who's apparently dying.
They're screwing over Wally West again? That's even worse. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Poor Wally West. His life sucks. Man, first... Okay, so here's the thing with Wally West. He goes missing and is forgotten about for like 10 years. And then they do the whole, bring in a new Wally West. They make that Wally West evil and bring back good old redhead Wally West from Rebirth. And now they're going to kill him? Like, we just got him back. Can we have him back for, like, I don't know, another 10 years before we kill him off? Man, that's crazy. So do you think that the Flash is actually going to die and stay dead?
See, what?
It's like the CW
when
show
I saw this
again.
Question, and I've been reviewing your notes pretty much all day trying to get ready for this show, and I'm looking at the questions and I'm going, because they're so pointed. They're like, this is what I think, but I'm going to check with you first. No, there is no way that... Since comic books have been around, characters have been created and have been dying on and on and on and on and on. So no, they're going to bring him back.
Has there been a character that has died and stayed dead in the comic book world?
That is a very good question. I don't know.
No, like, Jason Todd can't even stay dead. They have to keep bringing that guy back in 100 different
forms. I mean, Uncle Ben has been dead.
But he keeps coming back. They keep bringing him back and killing him off again. It's like, if I see Uncle Ben die on screen one more time, I am boycotting comic book movies. My heart can't handle that. I can't see Uncle Ben die again, okay? Just MCU, we know he died. Just let him stay. It's like this. I don't want to see him die again. It's like the Waynes. Like, they're going to bring the Waynes back in Flashpoint, yep, most likely. So they're going to bring back Thomas Wayne, and he's going to die again. We're going to see that guy die on screen again. I'm not okay with that. I know he's dead. Just let him stay dead. Stop bringing him back and, you know, killing him. But, you know, it's whatever. Are you excited about this Flash crossover event thing?
I mean, I did enjoy Flashpoint. I thought it was really, really good.
Flashpoint's, yeah, amazing, yes.
Both the animated movie and, although I think that was a little bit more too violent for my taste. But the comic is really, really good. And so, yeah, I mean, it... Yeah. Sorry, I just blanked. My mind left me for a second. Yeah, I think that it's really exciting, you know, to, again, another callback. We're doing callbacks. People are getting underwear and other people are dying. We're getting callbacks.
So this is a concern for me. So, okay. And I'll tell you why. We have a crossover that's leading point. Like, get excited for this crossover. We're killing Flash. If that's what you're leading with, then I have to say this comic or this crossover event may not be very good. If that's what you're leading with, we're killing off Flash because all the fans are like, again, he'll be back next week. It's like, okay, why are you leading with that? We've seen this done a million times. Why are you doing it again?
Did you...
It's like the same thing with see, in the next season of Flash. If I see Flash's mother die again, it's this whole thing. I can't see that happen. I've seen it three times already in 4 years. Like, just, man. Yeah, so I don't know. If you're leading with this, I'm a little concerned. So I'm.
Did you see like where they got all the creative team from DC and they put them on a cruise ship to like,
yeah,
ask them questions? That was hilarious. Like, yeah. Why they're all sitting up there like they're, you know, old mobsters in Vegas smoking cigars and it was just so funny.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like, I just want to know what happened in that writing room when they were just like, okay, guys, we're getting ready for a new crossover event. What are we going to do? And then some intern walks in who's never read a comic in his life. Maybe we should kill Flash. That's genius. I'm just wondering if that's how that went down. I'm sure it's going to be great. I'm sure they're going to add some sort of twist in there. But if they make Wally West evil again, I'm going to be mad. All these things, just like, if you're going to kill, like, I'm interested, but I'm concerned.
Yeah.
One thing I'm not concerned about, though, Grant Morrison taking over Green Lantern. Do you think that Grant Morrison is a good fit for the Green Lantern?
Again, really? I love Grant Morrison. He has the Midas touch of awesomeness. Like, you put him, he can just touch any kind of, like, comic book, whatever, and it's automatically genius. So I enjoy everything that he's created. One of my favorite things was the run he did on Batman, where he brought in Damian Wayne and set up the relationship between Bruce and Talia, and it was just so, so good. So yeah, I'm really excited. This is going to be fun.
Anytime you say Grant Morrison and new comic, I'm sold out. Like, I love this. I don't know if he's done, like, everything I've read from Grant Morrison, I've loved. I don't know if there's anything that I don't love from him as in the comic book world. He's done these just great, he's been a part of some of the greatest ones. Trying to think of There's another Batman one that I really loved. His whole run on Wonder Woman was great. Those are all great. He did a partner with Earth One Wonder Woman. That was pretty good. Interesting, but good nonetheless. Obviously, Final Crisis, those type of things are good. Do you think that... So this is a speculation of mine, and I know you don't like speculating, Ben, but I'm going to force you for this one. All right, so you bring on a big name like Grant Morrison to take over a title like Green Lantern. The last time that Green Lantern got a lot of publicity as far as storyline was with... why am I drawing a blank on his name? Jeff Johns. So with Jeff Johns, when he did his run on Blackest Night, Brightest Day sort of stuff, I think that was the last like big, huge, this is amazing event for the Green Lantern. Obviously, the DCEU is looking to create a Green Lantern movie. Like this is it's going to happen. We saw the Green Lantern, part of the Green Lantern Corps in Justice League, so we know that this is going to happen. Now, the problem is that we kind of have to get over the whole Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern thing. So my speculation is that they are bringing on Grant Morrison specifically to lead a storyline that they are going to base the movie on.
Could be.
Because that's what they're doing with Aquaman. So they're taking Jeff Johns' run on Aquaman, and that's what the movie's going to be based on. So I think that's what they're doing with this. I think that Grant Morrison is the guy that they are looking for to launch in this Green Lantern. And I think it's going to be a Green Lantern Corps comic book. Like, I think it's going to be a new story from the Green Lantern Corps that will be the basis.
As it should, because... What I found most compelling about the Green Lanterns is the fact that they are interstellar cops and a militaristic thing. And so you combine that life with but in a comic book world, then I'm gonna be like, if it's like Full Metal Jacket for like, or if it's a movie about a platoon of like comic book superheroes, how ingenious would that be? I would think so.
I totally agree. Yeah. And here's the thing. I think that they should take that route. A lot of people are complaining like DC is too dark and other people love the darkness. It's no longer about that. But one thing that Marvel has done great, I'm going back to them. I hate doing this, but one thing they've done great is they've taken the genre like that people saw superhero movies as a genre. Now what Marvel has done has taken that, and even Fox with Deadpool has taken it and turned them into their like specific genres with superheroes at the center. Logan, for instance, that's a Western. Logan is a Western movie. Ant-Man, a heist film, heist comedy film. So it's taking aspects of those classic like heist comedy aspects. I think they're doing this with Shazam. Shazam looks a lot like Big, but superhero, which I think is going to be amazing. We're going to talk a little bit about Shazam, but I think that I think I'm going to adore that movie. I think that's going to be an instant classic for me. And so I think they should do that with Green Lantern. Like, go a certain route. Like, decide what you're going to do. If it's going to be Bad Boys in Space, go that route. If it's going to be, Men in Black in Space, go that route. Like, do something with it where it's a genre that you are putting the Green Lantern Corps in. And I think that that's why they're bringing on Grant Morrison, because Grant Morrison has done that in the comic book world. He's taken these certain aspects, like whenever he introduced Damian Wayne, he took in this aspect of a damaged person that we knew that Bruce Wayne was, finding out he has a kid and reconciling his life while raising a kid. And so I think that that Grant Morrison's the guy for this, and I hope that they do that with the movies. But before we get to movies, let's go ahead and go into the television. Yep. So the small screen stuff. So a lot of television news dropped at Comic-Con, per usual. However, Ben, you're not up to date with the CW shows. So we're just going to skip over that. If you have any questions about the CW shows, Flash TV Talk will probably cover all things regarding the Flash, Legends TV Talk, of course, Legends, and all sorts of stuff like that. So go ahead and go over to our friends at those two shows and give those a listen. But we are going to talk about the DC streaming service and most notably Titans. So for those of you that just saw this trailer and like, what the heck is Titans? DC had announced that they're going to do a live action adaptation of Teen Titans, basically, and release it on their streaming service, because that's what everyone's doing now. Let's start a streaming service. It's a classic idea. So obviously, they're following the route of Daredevil and making a Titans show. But let's talk about the DC service. Ben, are you up to date on what this DC service is offering or what's going on?
Yeah, to a point. I don't know everything, and I don't know if anybody really does except for the people at Warner Brothers. But I kind of get the idea that DC wants to take their own brand for television and specifically target this towards streaming, which is really great because everybody's doing this. Everybody's doing this. Some TV networks, you got CBS. I don't know if NBC is doing one. ABC is doing one right now.
I mean, NBC, I think. So I think NBC and Hulu are
under the
same
Comcast
umbrella of ownership. And so I think Hulu. Anyway. I think.
but yeah. So it's kind of.
So yeah, they are kind of also doing it.
I can't blame them. I mean.
Yeah. So that's what I thought, too. I thought that the DC streaming service, I'm like, oh, what are they going to do? Are they going to be able to offer enough content to get people invested? Because the thing that a lot of people were concerned about are you taking away the CW shows? And DC came out and said, no, the CW shows will still be run by CW. And so I'm like, okay, then what content are you banking on? And they said, and so then they released, we're doing Titans. I'm like, okay. Maybe, but that's a gamble. And then they're doing the Harley Quinn. It's going to be like a PG-13
with Margot
series,
Robbie
Harley Quinn.
Doing the voice.
Swamp Thing. So Swamp Thing. I'm not up to date on Swamp Thing. Is that going to be live action or is that going to be animated?
Oh, good question.
Because the premise sounds really cool.
Yeah.
And it sounds really cool for live action, so I hope it's live action. But they're doing Swamp Thing, that, Titans, what have you, and I'm like, that's still not a lot. Like, that's only four or five properties that you're banking on for a streaming
Young
service.
Justice.
So this is better. Young Justice, that's it. And Young Justice has a cult following. A lot of people love Young Justice.
I do. Really good.
But at the same time, like, is that enough to get people to buy in? Maybe, but I was concerned, but then they announced at Comic-Con that they have a comic book feature. So you can now get your digital comics through this subscription service, and they're going to have over 3,000 titles that are included with your streaming service.
Hmm.
So it's going to be like $7-$8 a month. Like you can do a yearly membership and save the most, or you can pay monthly. And anyway, you can do the monthly subscription and get 3,000 titles of comics, digital comics, and you can read those on any platform. So your smartphone, your computer, and even your television. So you can get your panels up on the big screen and read your comics from that. And then I saw it, and I'm thinking, this might actually be that streaming service saving grace.
Yeah.
But Ben, do you think that there is enough investment in the DC properties for people to subscribe to this own service?
And that's, yeah, that's the big question, because I'm not sure. Just in how the movies are doing and the response to that, the CW shows have a following, and there are people who really enjoy the CW shows, and
I am one of them.
Yeah, more power to you. It's not that like I'm not up to date on what goes on over there at the CW. I know I keep an eye on it because you have to, because I'm always interested to see what they're going to do. But at the same time, I'm like, so you know, I'm just not sure. If they can, and this was the same question directed at things like Hulu, Amazon, and Netflix. If they can create really good content, then there's going to be an audience. Mm-hmm. But it's, you got to create really good content.
I think the biggest thing they need to do is they need to make sure that Titans is successful.
Yeah.
If Titans is not successful, people aren't going to care enough to get a subscription service for these other properties. The fans will. Don't get me wrong. I know I'm saying that, and a fanboy's freaking out. Actually, I will, because I'm so excited for these animated shows. But the general population, the larger audience, are not going to invest in that. That's why, like, going back to Marvel, that's why Marvel went to Netflix for properties like Punisher, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, and Daredevil. Remember, Daredevil was supposed to be a movie. When they announced it and they were starting and they were getting the ball rolling with the Daredevil project, it was slated as a film. Now, they were like, the 2005 film left a lot of bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, and they don't want that, and they will be highly skeptical. So Netflix made an offer and said, hey, we'll take Daredevil. We'll turn it into a show. You're guaranteed this much money, period. So you're guaranteed a profit already, plus more. And they said, we'll make a good TV show out of it. And they did. And now Daredevil has a following.
Yeah.
Teen Titans has a following. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people love Teen Titans and are going to go watch Teen Titans Go. But let's transition to Titans, because the reason that Teen Titans Go to the movies is going to make a lot of money is because parents can take their kids to it and enjoy it together. I don't think the kids are going to be able to take, or parents are going to be able to take their kids into the living room and say, let's watch Dick Grayson say, F Batman. And snap people's necks. Ben, what is your opinion on Titans?
Oh, boy. So, I saw this trailer, and I was like, really, guys? Really? Like, I've been trying to keep up with the coverage of the Titans thing, because I look at this very skeptically as someone who enjoyed the animated series, the original Teen Titans, I like Teen Titans Go, but not, I mean, Teen Titans was my jam back in the day, so I'm a little bit more of a fanboy of that. But I watched this and I was like, oh boy. This is that was rough. They're trying to be dark and edgy and really, really say things, man, because we're serious. And you're going, alrighty,
F Batman,
because I'm okay. And I'm just like, okay. Part of me wants to pass judgment, but then there's another part of me that's going, because as somebody who's familiar with the backstories of all these characters from the comics and from the animated series and from all these different places, I'm going, you can't say that because of what Batman has done for you. But I don't know if that argument will hold up in this show. And if this show can explain in a very good way why Dick Grayson has this attitude, then I'll forgive.
Without showing his backstory with Batman.
Yeah.
To understand, like, why Dick Grayson, because there are certain runs where Dick Grayson is bitter towards Batman. Not this bitter, but bitter. You have to understand that run. So where that writer is drawing from for this Dick Grayson. And they're like, I know a lot of people are like, well, they could include Batman. We could get Batman. That's not going to happen. If it was going to happen, it would have happened already. Getting Batman on the small screen. We might get it this season in Gotham, but other than that, this is going to be a hard sell. Because they're going to do these weird flashback scenes where your Batman's going to be there, but he's not really going to be there, and it's going to be like, you know, weird Bruce Wayne flashbacks. I don't think it's going to work. I am confident with the team behind it. So, of course, you have Geoff Johns, who is coming on for some stuff. Guess who got a credit for Titans? Steve Ditko.
Ooh.
Gets a credit for an episode.
Yeah.
So we're going to get a character that was created by Steve Ditko, apparently. But Geoff Johns is behind it. I have a lot of faith in Geoff Johns. Greg Berlanti is, you know, creating and writing it. Yes, he was on the team with Green Lantern, but a lot of people were on the team with Green Lantern. I was sold for the first 20 seconds of this trailer. So whenever it, because I knew that they were taking it a Daredevil-esque route, like the dark kind of, it was going to be their version of Daredevil. And so whenever they showed Robin jumping from rooftop to rooftop, I'm like, that looks kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as they were like, where's Batman? And then you see him snap someone's neck and then say, F Batman. I was taken out of it. And then they did. It looks like it has low budget, man.
Yeah.
Like the mystical stuff that was happening in this preview looked like I was watching Vampire Diaries season 1.
Yep.
And I do not mean that as a compliment. And I haven't even watched the full season 1 of Vampire Diaries. It looked like it was on a CW budget. And when you do this with a streaming service, you got to get people to invest in it, because why didn't if they're going to do this type of budget, why not just put it on the CW? You're going to get more viewers that way.
Yeah.
But it looks like a poor budget. So that's my opinion on that.
Yeah, and we've talked about this privately, there's a difference between being complex and having something to say versus being dark and edgy. You cannot just be dark and edgy. You have to have a good reason. And if you...
And maybe they do.
But boy, how do you... Is that, you know... That's a big gamble.
It's not off to a good start.
That's a
big
gamble.
It is. It's a huge gamble. I love dark and edgy. I also love fun.
Yeah.
And I would love... That's part of the reason I'm so excited for Shazam, is because I want a fun film. I want to go in and have fun. Mm. Avengers Infinity War, I love that film, but man, that's a bummer. I'm ready for a fun comic book movie. And Ant-Man 2, I still haven't seen it. I know, I'm terrible. But I want fun stuff. But if it's dark and edgy and it's good, then I love it. I love Punisher. I love Daredevil. I love Arrow. So if they can do it, then more power to them. I'm just not sold at this point. Maybe after the first episode I'll be sold, but right now I'm not. So, Ben, do you think Titans is going to bust?
Well, this is only the first trailer. My whole attitude on this entire show is we'll see.
I want it to succeed.
Yeah.
I want DC streaming service to be amazing. I want to have an awesome streaming service with DC properties. I want it to be great. I'm not rooting against it, but I do believe that there's a huge chance of this busting, and if it busts, they're going to pull a Lucasfilm and put everything on hold.
Yeah, here's my other thing is, ask me that question at the second trailer. And if the second trailer is as bad as this one, then yeah, It's gone. The end, docile fiend. I mean, you can't just, that's it. But yeah, we don't know.
Well, speaking of Vampire Diaries Season 1 quality, Buffy the Vampire Slayer has returned. We are getting a reboot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. How do you feel about this?
Well, not being a Buffy fan, again, I know that it exists. I know that...
But specifically, the TV, the 90s television show of Buffy the Vampire Slayer has that following.
Oh, yeah.
I know they're bringing on Joss Whedon. They're bringing him back and everything.
Yeah.
But I would feel the same way. If they told me they were rebooting Smallville, I wouldn't be for it. I would say no. Unless it was a continuation. Now, if they said they're coming back for one season of Smallville, I would be like, I'm watching it. But this Buffy thing, from the stuff I read, and I may be completely wrong, maybe they're just doing a one season anniversary, like let's do one season comeback sort of thing. Are they doing that? Did you see that?
I don't know. Like the stuff that I saw was like, bring it back. Reboot. Okay.
Yes. That's
we're bringing
what I
it
saw
back.
Too.
Okay. Well, you go ahead and do that. You know, I'll check it out when it comes. You know, just because I'm not a big fan. I'm not as familiar with it.
So maybe it's just that. So maybe if it's just they saved an extra season of Buffy, then it'd be great. Then I would be like, cool, that might actually be fun. But if they reboot it, that's not very fun. But you know what is fun? Hashtag Clone Wars saved. Clone Wars. This has been going on for like 5 years. People have been trying to save Clone Wars, and they finally did it. Comic-Con 2018 announced that they are bringing back the Clone Wars on Disney's streaming service for one season.
Yeah.
I think about 12 episodes is what it's slated. So 12 episodes wrapping everything up that Filoni has done with the Clone Wars. Ben, are you going to go back and watch the Clone Wars on Netflix?
No.
What? Okay. Will you consider going back and watching Clone Wars on Netflix?
I mean, the problem that I have with, and it's not even with the show. It was with the whole, like, with the reveal and Solo, which was a movie that, like,
right, but you don't need to know Clone Wars to get that. You can go back and do enough research and be like, oh, so he survived. It's like the same thing what they do with the books. It's like with the books now, you don't have to read the books for anything to make sense, but it's helpful. When you see Darth Maul at the end of Solo, you're like, whoa, I thought he was dead. I guess he wasn't. And you just got to be able to walk away from stuff like that. You can Google, how is Darth Maul alive? And find out from there. Or you can go to StarWars.com, look up the Clone Wars chronological order, because for some reason when they made the show, they made it out of order. And you can go back and watch it chronologically, or they have storylines. And you can just watch the Dark Brother storyline and find out about what happened to Darth Maul. It's only about 4 episodes. And so you just only have to lose about an hour of your life and figure out how Darth Maul survived.
Yeah, but that's as if I cared. Anyway,
it's pretty
okay.
Good.
No, like I've seen a few episodes of the show, and the show is good, and it's really great. I'm just a casual fan. I don't, you know, it's nice and everything. It's just not my thing.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna have you on Star Wars TV Talk for our Clone Wars episode, just so you have to watch it all.
I knew, like,
speaking of,
see, I've been planning for another guest appearance on that show for like weeks now. Ever since my last appearance and how weird that was, I'm going, okay, for my second appearance, here's what I'm going to do. And so it's going to be really, really big. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, then, speaking of big, we had some big blockbuster movies that were announced or content was released at Comic-Con. So some of the movies that we're going to talk about things from Sony's Venom, through Godzilla, Fantastic Beasts, Glass, Rugrats is getting a live action movie and a TV show reboot, Shazam, and Aquaman. So let's start off with Venom. Apparently there was a trailer that was released at Comic-Con, a new trailer of Venom. I haven't been on my interwebs feeds, so I don't know if that trailer's been released in public yet.
I didn't see it as far as being a trending thing today, so.
Yeah. Neither have I.
Maybe.
But Venom, so let's kind of talk about this. So Venom, they did confirm that we will not see a spider on Venom's chest. Yeah, so the spider will not be there because the symbiote is skipping Peter Parker altogether in this version. Do you think this is a good route, man?
I mean, yeah, it looks like they're going there and doing their own thing with Venom, which I'm all for, you know, because this is not going to be the Venom that we saw in the animated series and in the comics.
Or in Topher Grace.
Yeah, or in Topher Grace. Oh, boy. Eric should have stayed in the basement. Anyway, yeah, this is not going to be that Venom. And I'm all for it because, you know, Tom Hardy is amazing and anything he's in, I'm like, I press play to watch. So I'm fully interested. I want to see this movie. The trailers have been phenomenal and they've kept my interest, which is something, you know, that's really hard to do for somebody who looks everywhere to find something shiny. So yeah, I'm all for this movie. They can, when does it come out? Like October?
October, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
Halloween candy and a Venom movie.
Right? You get to go. That's what I'm planning on doing, right? Like Halloween weekend, Ben, that's what we need to do. We need to meet up on Halloween and just go watch Venom, get a bunch of candy, overdose on soda and just watch the crap out of this.
Dressed as Dracula. That would be.
I still have a Venom t-shirt from Spider-Man 3 premiere, just saying. anyway, I'm a skeptic about this because Venom, it's my whole skepticism with the Joker. A Joker without Batman doesn't make sense to me. So apparently they're doing two solo Joker movies. Apparently they're kissing. They're going back to Jared Leto and be like, we're sorry that we are talking to Joaquin Phoenix about being the Joker. So we want to make a solo movie with you in it too. But we're going to make his movie too. If you don't have Batman in there, or at least the presence of Batman, it doesn't work. You can have the Joker in there, like all as long as he's always talking about where's the bats or keeping track on the bats, it works.
Yeah.
But with Venom, I don't know. There are rumors, and Sony has said it's in the Marvel Universe. Other times, people are like, it is, but it isn't. And I don't think we have an official statement from Sony's executives plus Kevin Feige. When those two have a conversation together and actually confirm it takes place in the universe, I know they had that semi-panel meeting, but that Kevin Feige's response wasn't, yes, this happens in our universe.
Yeah.
And so unless they do that, or you know what, just bring back Andrew Garfield for this. Let Andrew Garfield do his spinoff universe and have Peter Parker in the MCU and it works. Or have Tom Holland in the MCU and it works fine. And you can convince people like that. But there are rumors that Tom Holland is going to be in this movie or at least make an appearance. You know, I don't think that's going to be true. I don't think we're going to get any aspect of Spider-Man whatsoever in this movie. I may be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think we are. And a lot of people like you are like, it's Tom Hardy. It's going to be great. Tom Hardy ruined a classic villain for me. I hate his portrayal of Bane. I think Christopher Nolan's version of Bane was absolutely horrendous, terrible, stupid. I hate it. I hate it. Let me say that again. I hate it. So just because Tom Hardy is being Eddie Brock Jr. and is going to be Venom, I'm not buying it. I still think it has great potential. I'm still going to go see it, and I'm still excited for it. But do you think this movie's going to bust, Ben?
Now, that's a different question. And again, I'm not sure. You're asking the guy. You're asking the guy who analyzes to speculate again. Will it do the thing that we don't know it will do? Maybe. If this movie is what I think it is, which is a horror movie with superheroes, gonna be great. And yes, I think there's going to be an audience. I mean, if you can pull out the same people that go to see like the Purge movies and go to see anything by Jason Blum, then yeah, this gonna be big.
Yes.
But if it is, you know, as you say, with very much, you know, the Bane thing, where, you know, then no. It's not gonna be good.
Why would he shoot a man before throwing him out of a plane?
I don't know. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I think that the route they're going, it's gonna work fine. It's gonna take me out of it because for those of you that know the comic book origin of Venom, he takes on that form because of Spider-Man. The reason his eyes look the way they do is because of Spider-Man. The reason he has a spider on his chest is because of Spider-Man. It's a Spider-Man villain. If this is a Sony universe without Spider-Man, I don't care for it. It will take me. They will have to do some real convincing as to why Venom looks the way he does without Spider-Man.
And that's a very interesting point because, you know, when you were comparing Venom and Spider-Man with Batman and Joker, part of my brain was like, wait, what? But it does kind of make sense. And that is a very good point, something I didn't think about. Because I'm just looking forward to a good movie. And I think that, right. I think there's enough talent here for them to say, okay, you know, Spider-Man's not involved, but we have just as good a story. And that's what I want to see, that kind of creative.
Yeah. I'll be all for it. It's just gonna have to take convincing.
Okay.
If we don't get like maybe the symbiote sees Spider-Man on the television and is like, and turns into a Spider-Man looking figure, then that might be it. Then that would work fine for me. But yeah, other than that,
eat your candy and enjoy.
Speaking of monsters, we have the trailer of Godzilla that was released at Comic-Con. Both a teaser and a trailer were dropped at Comic-Con. So we got a teaser, then we got a trailer, and now we're going to get Godzilla. Ben, are you excited for this movie, and why, or why not?
No, I was sorry about, like, giggling through that. I was reading your notes, and you have, like, Godzilla, : what is exciting about this? That, to me, is hilarious. Yeah. Again, you're very, like, you ask these questions, and you go, I have opinions, but I want to know, what do you think? And are you sure? Which is hilarious. I liked this trailer. I only saw it because you brought it up, because I was like, oh, you know, I didn't know we were going to talk about Godzilla, but we can. It's got Millie Bobby Brown. It's got who rarely does anything in this movie except look at stuff, which is, you know, she's very good at, because Stranger Things, most of her, she didn't have any dialogue. It was mostly like,
I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of staring and a lot of crying. Mm-hmm.
And no Eggo waffles, so, you know, you're going to be hungry. But
I hope the writers wrote in there her, at least one scene of her eating waffles. If they don't do that, they would have missed on an amazing opportunity. You don't even have to draw attention to it. Just have her sitting at like at the dinner table just eating waffles. And just be like, and her dad like makes a comment maybe like, hey, don't you think you're eating too many waffles lately? And then I would just be like, yes, I love that.
Seems very upside down.
I want to see her. Yeah.
But yeah, like, this was really, really good. I mean, I don't really know what why the premise is the way that it is. You know, we have to go find the Titans, because if we don't, the whole world will explode. Really, yeah, these are monsters. Kind of underplays the survival of the human race with monsters still existing. I mean, do you think that the monsters might eat the human race. Sorry, I'm having like Jeff Goldblum.
Or maybe they control. So maybe they maybe they're essential to certain elements on planet Earth that make them necessary to be found. Or maybe they just want to track them, because maybe ever since the Godzilla incident of 2015, they have more of these attacks that are happening and destroying civilization. So maybe they're like, we need to put trackers on these so that we know when they're coming so that we can get ready.
And so maybe that another Bryan Cranston will never have to lose his life.
Yeah. And so that they maybe have a signal so we can be like, call Godzilla and let them fight. And maybe that's why.
Ken Watanabe. Let them fight. Yeah.
So going off of that, we've known since 2015, when they started this universe, the Monsters universe from Legends, that they were leading to a Godzilla versus King Kong movie. So how do you think this is going to play into King Kong?
Well, I mean, with the existence of the monsters, you're going to have, naturally, you want to throw King Kong in there. Wouldn't it be funny if Pacific Rim just came out of nowhere, you know, What's his name comes out with the robots and they start fighting, and that would be great. But yeah, I think that they'll find some way to, like one of the monsters goes to attack Skull Island and it causes a disruption or whatever. And so, that awakens Kong, and Kong has to go out there and pound his chest and go, I'm going to deal with this, and then he deals with it.
And maybe we'll see the giant ants that John C. Reilly was referring to in Kong Skull Island that sound like birds, but sure, they're effing ants. Yeah. I think maybe Godzilla goes rogue at the end of this movie, and they're like, we need someone to keep Godzilla in check now. And so maybe they're like, let's go get Kong. And so then they just send a pretty little blonde girl to go convince Kong to come back. And
but like the whole point of King Kong since like the 1930s was he wants to be left alone. He's an introvert. Do not talk to him. Like, they're, you know, talk to the hand, talk to the gorilla shaped hand. Like, you know, you just don't want to,
unless there's a pretty blonde lady that's distracting him, then it's like I got to protect this pretty blonde lady. I think maybe this happens. Or maybe they just find Kong and they're like, let's bring him back to New York like they did in the old ones. And then on the way there, Godzilla's like, what the heck are you doing, man? This is my turf. And then they start fighting that way. I don't know.
But I don't really see Kong being a friend of the humans. I think that it's more a thing of like Godzilla going to the island.
But I do see, that could be the same thing. It could just be Godzilla.
We have to go back to the island, Jack.
Kong's like, what the heck are you doing here, man? And then Godzilla's like, I'm here to lay my eggs. I don't know. What are you doing here? And then King Kong's like, you can't do that. I'm going to fight you. And then Godzilla's like, I'm going to fight you. And so maybe it goes that way, and it's going to be a lot more Millie Bobby Brown screaming and crying. And then the movie's going to end with King Kong swimming across the ocean like the 1963 one did. Speaking of monsters and beasts, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Mm-hmm.
The new trailer of that movie dropped. Are you a Harry Potter fan, Ben?
Again, I love your questions. I am so into the Wizarding World, it's not even funny. I take the house sorting quiz on Pottermore.com like once every 6 months to make sure that I'm still in the same house.
And what house are you?
Ravenclaw.
Oh yeah, you would be Ravenclaw.
Uh-huh. Which brings up an interesting point for this movie. Why is Dumbledore asking a Hufflepuff to do a Ravenclaw's job? I don't understand that. Because
the question is, why doesn't he go to a Gryffindor like his like his own house? Like, why not that?
That is
interesting. Like, why do you go towards Newt Scamander to help you fight the greatest dark wizard to this time? Why do you go to him? He better... Grindelwald better have, like, a crap ton of monsters or something. It's like, this is why we can't stop him.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. Because the first movie was, like... Newt practically did nothing. It was all Tina and... What's her face? Yeah. Like, the cute sister that she has that goes, I wear dresses. Or whatever her character... Queenie.
I wear dresses.
Queenie was her name. And she's like, oh my goodness, look at what I can do and stuff. And you're just like, okay, well, y'all, you know, they were the ones battling the Obscurial and stuff. Newt was just like, you know, I've come over from England and I can wave my wand and I can, you know, Hogwarts is the best, you know. And it just like, okay. But apparently, Dumbledore's going, you know, I think I want you in my... So, it's going to be so interesting to see the screenwriting gymnastics that they're going to pull to make...
I do trust in this because I believe that J.K. Rowling is getting the final say in the screenplay, which she did not in the first one.
Yeah.
They took her screenplay and dissected the crap out of it in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very upset about that.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, I don't care about you, movie writer, whoever you are, writing about the Wizarding World. I care about J.K. Rowling writing about the Wizarding
mm-hmm.
World. I don't care about what you have to say. I care about what she has to say.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard that, it's more promising. I think... that Newt Scamander is a supporting character in this movie. I think it's going to be a Dumbledore and Grindelwald story.
As it should be.
As it should be. And Jude Law's Dumbledore, take my money.
Please.
I'll go and watch the crap out of this. Take
exactly. Because there is nothing cinematic about Newt Scamander as a character. Nothing. He works as a side person who is...
I get it. He wrote Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yes.
That's insignificant. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I don't really care who he is or what he did to write that stupid book. It's a book that Harry read, and the only reason that fans care about it is because the first book mentions him reading it. It's the only reason this character matters. No one really actually cares about what he did in the past or that he's in love with the Lestrange chick. It doesn't matter. Give me Dumbledore versus Grindelwald. I want to see an awesome fight happen, and I want to see Dumbledore's sister get super killed as she gets in the middle of it all.
Yep. Because that battle has been such a huge part of the Harry Potter, I guess...
Yeah.
His whole life, his story, everything, because it helps him to figure out how to defeat Voldemort. So,
yes.
Or he who must not be named, depending on your feelings.
Or Voldemort, depending on your pronunciation.
True.
If you have a silent T or emphasis on the T.
Yep.
It all depends. This guy's got 20 different names.
It's crazy. He who must not be named.
You know someone's a bad guy when they have 20 different names.
He who must not be named because it cannot be pronounced.
Yeah. You know all this stuff. It's just like whatever. I kind of want them to be done with this series so I can get a Tom Riddle film, because that's really what I want from all this, and I want to see Tom Riddle go around and just wreak havoc on a bunch of people and just destroy a bunch of stuff.
Did you see the fan-made film they did about Tom Riddle?
I didn't see the whole thing in its entirety, but I did know it was a thing. Yeah.
Pretty good.
I want that. And I want a Riddle book. Just, here's like all that you have to do. Create a poster, have in there like on like little calligraphy writing that just says Riddle. That's all you need to call it. And I'm like, yes, please. Give me either a book called Riddle or a movie. Don't call it anything else. Just call it Riddle. It's like scary enough. It gives you the chills because you know who it is. And you know it's going to be about him killing a bunch of people and creating Horcruxes. You know, it's a show, you know, it's whatever. And yeah. So do you think that Fantastic Beasts is going to bust?
How much did the last one make, or do we know?
It made money.
Okay.
Well, then
this is probably going to make money.
I think this is going to make more money than the first one.
Yeah. Because there's actual reason to go see it. No.
True.
That first one, good lord, you're just like, why? But this one actually has a purpose, because we're going to get to see it, you know, it's just going to be like Johnny Depp versus Jude Law, and it's going to be great. You're going to just love it. So I hope that it makes money, because the Harry Potter universe and the Wizarding World deserve the big screen, because they are very cinematic stories and they need to be told. Just not with Newt Scamander.
And J.K. Rowling needs to be writing every one of them.
Yes.
So get as much out of J.K. Rowling as you can with these movies. Because I don't care what fill in the blank screenwriter. It's the same thing. It's my same feelings with Lawrence Kasdan.
Yeah.
Han Solo, if it was not written by Lawrence Kasdan, I would be like, why am I going to see this? I don't want to see this crap. Same thing with, like, if they ever get around to Indiana Jones and stuff, if they don't have Lawrence Kasdan involved in that, I'm not going to care. Why should I? Why should I care about any of that crap? So even though you didn't like Solo, yeah, it's the same. It's that same sort of thing. But the next thing, Ben, are you an M. Night Shyamalan fan?
You're talking about this. I think that he does great comedic work, because some of his films are so strange that they are hilarious.
What did you think of Unbreakable?
Forgive me, though. I have never seen Unbreakable.
Oh, my God. What? Did you see Split? Have you seen Split?
No.
Ben, come on, man. Unbreakable. It is possibly the one of the greatest, like, comic book. It's a comic book movie.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's lovely. I adore that movie. And then I didn't even know Split was a part of the universe.
See, and the reason
that was the biggest surprise to me, and that made me love that movie even more.
I will probably see Unbreakable at some point. I will not see Split.
Dude, you got to see Split. It is so good.
Is it a horror movie, or is it a thriller with horror?
It's a thriller with horror elements.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It's not like jump out at you super scary. It's just disturbing. So just seeing James McAvoy changing his personalities is more disturbing. Nothing really happens in the movie that like makes you scream though. Like I went to a pretty full theater and not a single person screamed once. Nothing really happens that. There's a few jumpy moments, but it's not like a horror film. You saw Get Out, right?
Nope.
Well, I was going to compare it to Get Out and say it was like the same thing as Get Out. But anyway,
again, I cannot do horror movies because I just...
It's like psychological. It's not like nothing jumps out and gets you. It's not like, it's not a horror film.
Okay.
When you watch it, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's a great movie. But anyway, Glass happened.
Yeah.
You haven't seen any either of them, so, you know, I can't ask you about this. I'm excited about it. I'm super excited to see Samuel Jackson pulling some strings behind the scenes, because I think that's what he's doing in this movie, which will make him a great villain. But you have to watch Unbreakable to understand who he was. And
like, I can understand the premise, and I'm actually excited for it, because anything with Samuel L. Jackson, even if the movie itself sucks, Sam is going to make it good, at least watchable. And you're going to want to pay the price just to go see Samuel L. Jackson hamming it up, because Samuel L. Jackson is amazing.
Go watch Split. Go watch that movie and watch Unbreakable, and it'll be great. You'll love it.
Oh, boy.
Me. Have you seen Sixth Sense? No? What M. Night Shyamalan movies have you seen?
That's a good question. Oh, I've seen Signs.
So it's just as scary as Signs.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Signs was actually kind of like creepy at certain points.
Creepy. Split is a creepy movie. It's like, it makes you feel like, ooh, that's creepy. Mm-hmm. But nothing like jumps out at the screen and grabs you.
Okay.
Yeah. But you're telling me that Samuel L. Jackson can make anything? You're saying anything?
Pretty much. I mean, I just enjoy watching Samuel L. Jackson in front of a camera.
All right. So what if someone convinced Samuel Jackson to do some CGI work and shrink himself down to a baby and just be a talking baby? Would you think that works?
No.
No.
Because I know what I know what the next topic is. And I have
Rugrats. Ugh. Rugrats is getting a live action movie and a television show reboot. Ben, are you excited?
I have mixed feelings because I haven't seen any, you know, I haven't seen the Unbreakable stuff. Rugrats, oh boy, howdy. That was my childhood. That was like, mm-hmm. I would come home from school, and this was back during the days of Slime Time on Nickelodeon in the afternoons when, yeah. It was such a good show. And so you'd watch Rugrats, and it was really, really good. Very surreal, taking children, not just like toddlers, but we're talking like actual babies and exploring their mindset. And that was so fascinating, because it just went wild with the visuals. So I'm a huge fan. I've actually seen except for the Wild Thornberries meet Rugrats. I haven't seen that one, but, I'm a huge fan of Rugrats. Not so much the idea of a live action movie.
For someone that gets creeped out easily. Yeah, that's probably a good judgment of yours. I think that's gonna be weird.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, why is this a good idea? Have these people not seen Baby Geniuses? Have these people?
I was just about to say that.
Yeah. Have these people not seen like things like the Smurfs and the Chipmunks? But, that was my other big. They have.
Why is this happening?
I don't know.
Like, why are they doing this?
I mean, the show, like, in animation, the show is pretty out there. If you were to take the strangeness of that show and put it in live action, my goodness, that would just be
just
like...
Just the dynamic between the parents and the grandparents, like, all that, it's just weird.
Bizarre. I mean, And again, in animation, the show was just as bizarre, but it wasn't creepy. Like, you could actually believe it, and you could get into this world, and you could play with it and play around. Nuh-uh, not live action. No siree. No.
Yeah. I think we're both saying this one's going to bust.
Oh, yeah.
I think this one's going to bust hard.
Bust. Break. Yeah. It's going to, like, level an entire city. I mean, it's
people
just going to be...
People are going to get fired for this job. Like, people
cats
are going to
and dogs
fired.
Living together. Mass hysteria. So, I just not...
People that are on the production for Rugrats live action, start applying for other jobs because you all are going to... Yeah. Nickelodeon is going to clean house. They're going to clean house with you guys. So, yeah. Speaking of people getting fired... Do you think anyone's going to get fired for this Shazam movie?
What do you mean?
I think people are going to get their contracts renewed. Are you excited for Shazam?
I like that transition. I am. Now, I was a little bit nervous because, again, DC and... because they're just so all over the place. It's like they're trying to figure out what they want to do and they haven't yet. But when I saw the trailer for this movie, boy howdy was I sold. This is such a good trailer.
And it looks fun.
Yeah.
The movie, and it looks like what you would do if a teenager got superpowers.
Yeah.
Like you have your friend that's like a nerd or a geek, and you're like, oh, let's, like, he's just like, let's see what you can do. Like, that's exactly what they would do. And so I love Zachary Levi as, that's right, right?
Yeah, Zachary Levi. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was skeptical about this. I'm like, okay, it's going to be weird. And when they told that they were going the Billy Batson version of Shazam, I'm like, how is this going to transition on screen? But then they did what successful comic book movies are doing, and they're taking a genre and putting the superhero in there. This is big. This is going to be big Shazam version. And I love Big. I adore that movie so much.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorite Tom Hanks movies. I love it. I don't give a crap what you say about Big. I love that movie. And this looks like
art and soul.
This is going to be that. And I'm buying it. Like, I buy Zachary Levi's portrayal as a superhero who's really a teenager. I completely buy that. Like, him going in through the mall, your phone's charged. Like, that's all that stuff. And then when they save the store from getting robbed and they just like go out with like their soda and just, I'm just like, yes, that's exactly what would happen.
You're welcome for saving you.
And I think that Zachary Levi is going to say that same exact quote to the DC universe. I think Shazam is going to be a part of saving the DC universe. I think this is going to be the spark that they needed. Wonder Woman was great, but Wonder Woman was not enough. I think with Shazam, Wonder Woman 1984 is going to contribute to restoring hope in the DC galaxy, and I think it's going to be great. Yeah, I'm super excited. Do you have any other thoughts on Shazam?
No, but I totally 100% agree with you that this could be the shot of adrenaline that the DC universe needs. Yeah. Because they've been lacking that. They've been lacking something else aside from Wonder Woman, which is the only thing that's worked for them. So, yes, this is going to be great.
My only thing I would change about it is that I would swap the release dates with Aquaman.
I know,
I would make Shazam come out during the holiday season and have Aquaman come out later.
It makes so much sense. I've also heard this movie compared with, like, Elf as a superhero film, which would be brilliant. Because
I'm completely wrong.
Why is Aquaman coming out this December?
Speaking of Aquaman,
yeah,
they dropped a trailer. What did you think about the trailer for Aquaman?
It was good. It was okay. You know, it exists.
It made me excited for it.
Oh, really?
I was concerned. Yeah, I was, this whole time I've been a little bit concerned with Aquaman. When I saw the trailer, I was on board.
I mean, I'm going to go see this movie, and I'm really excited, you know, about it and the fact that it exists. But
the reason that I think it should be switched is because it's going to be a different tone. It's not going to be as dark as Batman versus Superman, all that stuff. The tone's going to be different, all that, which is a lot of the criticism with the DC properties. But I think they should have done Shazam. People get a re-jolt.
Yep.
Then they can go back to what the rest of the feel with Aquaman, or the rest of the feel that DC universe is going to have, which I think is going to follow Aquaman's steps.
Yeah.
I think the tone we get from Aquaman and the tone we get from Wonder Woman is going to be the tone of the DC universe going forward.
Oh, yeah.
But as soon as I saw Black Manta, and they said they weren't going the classic helmet route, they straight up lied to us. Because whenever Black Manta showed up, I'm like, that's what I want. I want that. Whatever that is, I want it. So I'm excited. I thought it was great.
I mean, it's a good trailer.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do you think this will contribute to saving DC, or do you think it's going to be a bust?
I mean, I would say that it, if it's a good movie, and this was a good trailer, I'm not saying that it was a bad trailer. I'm just saying that it didn't excite me or reinvigorate I guess the word. It didn't put the bring the life back in that Shazam did. Shazam was just like, yes, bust the windows out your car kind of excitement.
Oh, it was so great. And the way that they cut the trailer to the music and that last shot of him going Shazam and walking through the, that was all great. Yeah.
Aquaman didn't do the same Shazam thing. It was like,
my name is my name is Arthur, and I did the really serious. Also, my mother is Nicole Kidman.
I'm going, oh, you know, okay, and yeah, you know, and that's fine, but it just,
and Willem Dafoe is going to be in this in some measure.
Yeah, I liked what, you know, the fact that the shark would actually communicate with Arthur as a kid. That was really great, but I don't know if it will invigorate life back. I think Shazam's going to do that.
I do too.
But I think that it's going to definitely put some more interest in if the movie is as good as we think. Right as this trailer shows.
I think it's 50-50. I think there's a 50% chance that this movie busts. I think there's a 50% chance that people love it.
Yeah.
Shazam, I think it's 80% people are going to love it.
Yep.
It's 50-50 with Aquaman. Aquaman didn't really excite me. I saw it, I got excited, but it didn't like, because I love the DCEU right now. Mm-hmm. I love Batman versus Superman. I like Justice League. I love Wonder Woman. I love Man of Steel. Aquaman, I got excited. I was skeptical about it first. Now I like the direction they're going, but I am not excited for the feedback it's going to get, because I think that it's a 50% chance that it's going to get a lot of hate.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that there's going to be there's going to be interest, especially with James Wan at the helm, who did Fast and Furious 7, which was gangbusters at the box office, and who?
But that was because of the property.
True. But I mean, just some of the stuff, because I follow him on Twitter, name drop. But just to kind of see the things that he's putting out and seeing the investment that he's making in the film, you know, I think that people are going to really go for that. So,
yeah, I think it's give or take. To me, if there's a universe where Batman versus Superman struggles and the Justice League struggles, Aquaman's going to be a tough sell.
Yeah.
Shazam, because I think that people already have their mind made up of what they think about the DCEU. So I think that every time a DCEU film is released, they have their mind made up whether or not they're going to see it. And this trailer isn't going to win those people back. But Shazam, I think, will. I think people that have wrote off DC, I think when they see Shazam, they're going to be like, this is incredible.
Yep.
And I'm going to go watch it. But anyway, do you have any other thoughts of all the news coming out of San Diego Comic-Con 2019?
No, I don't. I spent some time on the website kind of looking over the schedule for the Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. And it was actually like there were a lot of panels that I would have given my left hand to go see, my left arm, I should say. Because they were really discussing what it means to be an active creator and what it means to draw, what it means to write, what it means to film, which is so good, and how supportive this convention is to nerds and fanboys. Not just letting them be nerds and fanboys, but actually saying, here, take what you love and we can give you some tools to make money talking about what you love. Right. So yeah.
And it's great. Just the community that they have there. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, the community around, the Kevin Smith panel, he took a moment to honor, John Schnepp, who is a creator himself. He created the documentary, The Death of Superman Lives, which is, in my opinion, I think that documentary itself should have been nominated for Oscars. It's a wonderful, wonderful documentary. It's comedic. It's great. It's well done. And John Schnepp did that all you know, he led all of that. He wrote comic books, all sorts of stuff that John Schnepp has done. And he had a massive stroke last week and passed away during Comic-Con. And it was just nice to see that Kevin Smith honored him in that, because Kevin Smith played a huge role in the death of Superman Lives. And so just kind of seeing that community, I was really encouraged by the community that was surrounding that whole ordeal.
Yeah.
So, well, other than that, Ben, do you have anything else?
No, sir.
Well, then I think we're all out of limes.
Oh, goodness.
Gin and Comics Podcast is a listener-supported podcast, and here are a few ways to support us. By leaving us an iTunes review, we are able to advance our name to new listeners. For your support, we will give away a piece of nerdy merchandise of your choosing for every 10 reviews. However, the most direct way to support us is through Patreon, where we have a number of tiers. For as little as $3 a month, you'll have access to our Patreon-only feed, where you'll receive exclusive episodes and some early release episodes and be featured on our supporters page. For $5 a month, you will receive a hard copy of a book or comic book handpicked by Zach and Ben every month that you are a patron. For $15 a month, you'll receive previous perks, as well as receive video recordings of the shows. For $20 a month, you'll receive the previous perks as well as collectible items selected by Ben and Zach every month that you are a patron. Also in this tier, patrons will be able to access our live chat feature, where they can access questions to be answered on the show. For more information about our tiers, you can visit www.patreon.com/webaudio. That's W-E-B-B audio. Help us so that we never run out of limes.